Welcome to the podcast, Design Your Success, the podcast where human design and business meet. Every week, I will drop a new episode with an inspiring guest who shares his or her story about their business and how human design has fit in and how it has made a change for them. My name is Nicolena Huizinga. I am your host and I am a business mentor and human design coach. Have fun listening. Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of the Design Your Success podcast. And today is a very special day because I am interviewing my wonderful client, Dagmar Hopf. Welcome, Dagmar.
Hey, hello.
So good to have you here. So please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Yeah, hello, everyone. My name is Dagmar. I'm originally from East Germany and moved in 2010 to the Netherlands. After school, I've studied psychology and then I worked first as a management consultant in the area of organizational change and leadership development. And since 2007, I'm self-employed. In the beginning, also as a consultant, later on as coach, for a while as a photographer, and now I'm more working as a counselor and coach. And besides that, I'm also mother of a boy.
Great. I love that. So before we dive into the whole world of business and human design, how did you become an entrepreneur?
If I would summarize that, in the end, it was a little bit by chance. It was never really a plan I had for myself. As I said, I worked in a consultancy company and there were things changing internally, which felt not fine anymore. Also, some of my favorite colleagues left. And so it was time to make a decision. And first I thought, okay, I go into another company. I look maybe for an in-house consulting role or move into human resource. But somehow I couldn't find a job that really interested me or it didn't fit. And then I saw that one of my past colleagues started also her own business. And I said, okay, that could be also something I can do. It was just an option first. I explored and then I thought, why not? So it was, in the end, it was an experiment by chance, something I explored and I felt that the risks I took were manageable. So it was about, you know, getting your own laptop, getting a printer at home. I sat down with someone to find a company name and doing a website. But the good thing was that I could take with me some of my former clients I had before in the consultancy. So they wanted to continue to work with me. And that was the kind of business the company wasn't so interested in anymore. That was also a part of the internal changes. They aim for different types of work. So therefore, I already had right from the beginning a client base. Which made it, of course, pretty easy. At least it felt like that. And this is, yeah, how I started being an entrepreneur.
It's so funny because so many people that I talk to on this podcast are accidental entrepreneurs. So it just happened and they didn't really plan it. And here you are. You're another example of exactly that. And what you said, I think, is so important that you already had a client base mm-hmm. when you started, because many entrepreneurs, when they start out, they need to build their client base. And that can be tough. That can be really hard. So did you do the exact same thing, what you did in your corporate job for the clients when you started your own business?
In the beginning, yes. I even finished two projects for my former company because they had no one to step in into my place in these projects. And in the end, it was more or less the same, but I also started to explore new opportunities. And honestly, I told everyone I ever came across that I'm now self-employed. So really everyone from school I was still connected with, from studies, from further educations, from any projects during study time, I told really everyone. And it was really the case that people connected with me and said, listen, my husband and his company, they need someone to facilitate a change process. or here I have an idea, would you like to collaborate with me in doing this and that? So being very open that I change and that I'm available and interested somehow also led new business to me and new connections.
That is such a smart thing to do. And I think many people don't do it because they feel it's not interesting or relevant or just anything. But I think this is such a smart move. So thank you for sharing that story, because I think it's such a smart move when you do this and you just start telling everyone. And it's, you know, it's like sowing the seeds and just see what happens. And here you are. So how many years ago did you start your business?
Yeah, it's now 16 years ago. It was beginning in January 2007. I went to the Chamber of Commerce in Germany.
Wow, that's
and officially opened my business. Yes.
16 years. Yeah. Wow. So I'm guessing, and I know because we've worked together, but I'm also guessing that you really had your ups and downs and your moments of reinventing yourself and changing and tweaking.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you define the concept of success? Because there are so many different ideas around it, but I would love to know, especially in 16 years of entrepreneurship, how would you define success?
For me, it's really very much based on my personal values. That means for me, it's very important to do meaningful work for my clients. And with meaningful, I mean this making or having this deep and lasting impact with regards to what they have been asking for or what they want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, I want to do that in a way, in my own way, let's say it. Yeah. And I think that's really has to do with working independently and having the autonomy to follow my intuition, to really live my creativity. And of course, also realizing, at least in the long run, financial freedom. So I never worked with clear numbers per year that I said, okay, now I have to have the six figure thingies.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I knew what I need to earn. So
yeah.
I always had a kind of basic calculation in terms of knowing, okay, this is what I need to live my life. But it had been more important to have this meaningful work instead of only doing business for the numbers.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that, on the meaningful work, because it's and that's another great thing that many of the podcast guests have in common, that they really define success by the impact that they make, by the beautiful gifts that they have, that they can share that with the world. And there, so far, there has been no one who defines success by numbers or by status or anything. But I love how you nuance this by making having meaningful connections and meaningful collaborations with your clients, and also making a good living, making enough money, but doing it in your own way. And that's, I think that is so crucial for many people. And especially that's why I started this podcast. And that's why I wanted to highlight the human design element, because that is all about doing it your own way.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know you're a manifesting generator, and manifesting generators are these amazing people, the multi-talented, the multi-passionate people. And what you just described, being a management consultant, being a psychologist, being a photographer, it just ticks all the boxes for being a manifesting generator. But I love it so much, because it's all about honoring who you truly are at the core. So what would you say, because that's always the case with a manifesting generator. They can do so many different things, but there's always an overarching theme.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say is your overarching theme?
I love to work with this concept that everyone has a kind of a talent, something special in the way how they do things. And of course, then I also started to figure out what is that for me. And for me, it's really giving shape. So I'm the one, if it's in a consultancy project, it's giving shape to a goal, and could be in form as a concept. It could be a certain process. It could be by bringing people together in a certain new way that they can exchange.
Yeah.
Also for coaching one-on-one, it's again giving shape for a development process. Also with photography. Photography is not just okay making nice pictures. It's kind of giving shape to a message you want to convey with an image or something you see you want to share. And it's also the same with, again, working as a counselor. It's again shaping a transformation process.
Yeah.
And here all my things come together. It's on the one hand side the ability to recognize patterns and bringing things together on a content level. On the other level, it's also this kind of creative way of creating visually attractive and simple ways to explain and showcase information. But it can even be in a room. That's what I usually do when I enter a room where I'm going to have a coaching session. I kind of rearrange everything so that I think that's the right setup for having the sessions.
Yeah. So you really want to do things your own way.
Kind
Which
of,
is great.
Yeah. But in terms of creating also the right space or giving the right shape that it's possible to achieve what we want to achieve in that special situation.
Yeah, I love that. I think that is such a beautiful overarching theme, and it describes what you do so well and how you do it. Mm. Because I know in your work, when you do it for corporates, individuals, the psychology work, the counseling and everything, it's all about that. It's all mm. about shaping, not just shaping the person, but helping the person find their own shape again. And shaping the future.
Yes.
And
yes.
I love how you describe that. So the word shaping is just amazing for you. So this is all about the way you do it. I'm really curious, and I'm asking everyone in this podcast, I'm sure you had rough moments during your mm-hmm. 16 years of being an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Could you share one or two from them?
Yes. I said that I moved to the Netherlands in 2010. And in the beginning, I thought that's absolutely doable because I also was used to traveling within Germany to my clients. So I was living in the beginning in the Frankfurt area, later on in the Stuttgart area, and I had clients more or less all over Germany. I thought, okay, it doesn't matter if I travel to them from the Netherlands, that's not that far. But over time, I realized that I do not really land here in this new country, and I didn't want to feel like a tourist. And so I decided, due to that, but also due to the fact that I was somehow dissatisfied with my work at that moment, so I kind of felt I was losing impact, I decided to completely to say goodbye to my well-running business in Germany. Well, running with meaning with working with a lot of large corporations, being shortlisted as a preferred supplier. So I didn't have to do any big sales activities or marketing. They just called me and said, "We have another thing. Are you available?"
Yeah.
I said goodbye to everything. And wow. I restarted from scratch in the Netherlands as a coach, with having no real connections, no business connections, besides of people I met in the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. So that was in 2000. It was a process. The thought already started in 2012 after being here 2 years. And in 2014, I really changed everything and said, okay, goodbye, Germany. Goodbye to my former business. Changing Co was the name. And I started Seven Birds from scratch. And that was really a tough moment to dare to say goodbye.
Yeah.
But in the end, it was really, as I said before, it was really linked with this value of making deep impact, but also of this value of feeling connected and being there where I live and not kind of a guest. But it
but
was tough.
Also,
it was
it's
really
also,
starting from scratch. So
yeah. And I think this ties in so well with your human design, because your profile lines are 1 and 3. Mm-hmm. And especially the 3 is all about reinventing yourself. It's about experimenting, it's about testing and trying, and of course enduring the hard moments. But I think you really lived your design, even though you didn't know at the time, I guess.
No, I didn't know at that time.
Yeah, but you definitely did. And
and it was hard because I'm also a relatively introvert person, but now I really had to move out and really connect with people, go to networking and ask people and get connected, and because I had not this existing network here.
Wow.
That was really tough.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. And it's such a courageous thing to do, to say goodbye to safety, automation, when people just ask you and you don't have to do a lot when it comes to marketing or sales. So it's, that's a tough thing to do. Yeah. But it's very typical for people with a 3 in their profile that they do these kind of things. And it's also, when we look at your design, there's also a channel in your body graph that shows that those radical choices are actually a logical thing to do, where other people may look at it like, whoa, what are you doing? This is really risky. But for you, it's like, no, this is the only way forward.
Yeah.
So speaking of human design, you know your human design because we work together, but how do you apply it in your business? And what happened when you knew about it, when you started to know about it?
Yeah. What I found really interesting was just this part you mentioned, this being an explorer, that this is a very typical line in my business, not only with these big decisions, but also in all these small business decisions, that I'm very open to testing new tools, the techniques, new strategies, and an experiment. And then, but also very quickly decide, oh, this is working or this is not working. So I'm not sitting there and waiting for years to make the right decision. I just go ahead. If it somehow makes sense, it's okay. Let's do it and let's try it. So I'm very open to all these things. But I'm also quick in saying then, okay, no, that's not it. I stop it. So this is one thing. Another thing that wasn't really clear to me, but it definitely resonates, is this other line with the investigator, the number, the one.
Yeah.
This being really interested to seek new knowledge, to learn new things. This is also an ongoing theme that, of course, I do my work and I have a solid knowledge base and experience, but still again and again, I'm looking for new courses, learn new things, read books. And due to our work, I really realized that it's important for me to make time for that, because that also gives me satisfaction for being who I am and fulfilling this kind of need in that sense. To allow myself to dive into new things, even if it's not directly applicable in my work. But quite often there are always parts. It's because it's not that I'm completely all over the place, but still in different areas or new things or new developments in the coaching and training and learning and change industry.
Yeah.
But this is one thing, another thing. And what also came very clear to me was this connection that I really have to wait for my inner yes. that I have this sacral center, which in the end gives me my clear message. Is that something for you or not? And and this is really what I even perceive in very simple daily life decisions. Imagine I go shopping for a new dress. If I don't feel a clear yes, I don't buy it. I really stopped with that. Even in the big, sometimes you make these decisions, you buy something because you think, oh yeah, I need this new jacket, I need this, that, and this somehow fits, but in the end it's just getting dusty in your wardrobe and you don't wear it. And this was really something I learned over the last years for myself without knowing about it. Go with your inner yes, feel it really, and if I don't feel it, I don't do it.
Yeah. So how do you feel it? Because I'm a generator, as you know, and I'm a fellow 1-3, so we have the similar profile line. So I totally feel you on the learning new stuff and getting new knowledge and making time for that in order to honor that. But looking for the yes, what do you feel when you feel the yes? How does it come to you?
It's really kind of very, very deep inner knowing. And quite often I cannot explain it.
Okay.
So this is what I often realize when having conversations with people who are more looking for facts and figures and proofs and explanations. I just can't explain it. I just know it. But I'm glad with that. I for me, that's totally fine because it feels so convincing.
Yeah.
And usually I would say it also comes after a moment of stopping, kind of letting my inner wisdom do the puzzle. And then for instance, after, you have a short bike ride somewhere and then you arrive and during the bike ride, you do nothing, just watching out to the other people on the streets and suddenly you know it.
Yeah.
Right. Or you have a short walk or you wake up in the morning. These kind of moments is when I feel it the most.
Yeah.
That there's this deep knowing.
There's the knowing.
Yeah,
that's great. That's great. For me, you know, I think it's important what you just said, that we need to let go of the forcing to find an answer, but we just allow the space and we allow the headspace, like you said, you know, being on the bike, just being on the street, watching people, not having many thoughts. Relaxing during a walk or anything, that your mind is kind of empty and then the answers come to you.
Mm-hmm.
For me, and it may sound really weird, of course, it's nature is always a great thing for me. My weekly dip in the sea is always great because mm-hmm. if you're in cold water, there's literally nothing you can think of but the cold water. But another moment where the best ideas come to me and the most clarity comes to me is when I'm ironing. And
yes.
It's so weird, you know, because I'm so the mind is completely empty and it's a mindless thing to do. And I'm just, you know, focusing on the clothes and that's all I'm doing. And then I'm getting the ideas and the input. So that's just wonderful. And it's different for everyone. And that's why I asked you this, even though I didn't ask you up front, but it's so lovely to hear how you do this.
Yeah. And maybe there's one more aspect. It's really the absence of every doubt, you know, mm-hmm. as long as I'm doubting, as long there's still a question mark, it's not a clear yes.
Yeah.
But if that's absolutely gone, no doubts, no question marks.
Yeah.
That's also a sign that's an absolutely clear yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think this is really important that you, when you feel the doubt, it means that you're still in your head as well.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. And when you really feel the yes, then it's literally coming from your sacral center, from your defined sacral center.
Yeah.
So that's just, that's just wonderful. Oh, I love this. I love this conversation so much. So before we wrap up this wonderful conversation, I would love to hear your top three, your best advice that you can give our listeners.
Okay. I want to start with that, what I just mentioned as one of the last things, what I said about myself is allow yourself to experiment, to review after a while and then decide how to continue.
Yeah.
So don't be a perfectionist in that sense and wait for having the perfect recipe or concept. Just go ahead and try things out. Doesn't have to be big things, but go and try. But then also take the time to review and really check in. Is it that what suits my needs, what suits my goal? And if not, stop it and go with the next one.
Yeah.
So that would be one thing.
Yeah.
Another thing what I love to do, but this also suits my very structured and goal-oriented personality, is that I work with 90-day periods. So for instance, every quarter, I check the beginning from every quarter, I check my business status in various areas. So products, services, finances, marketing, sales, but also me as a team or me with my collaborations, and I give them numbers. And then I define for this period what's now my goal for the next 90 days. And from that, I derive what are certain activities or projects I want to do. And then I do bi-weekly evaluations of that. And I bi-weekly tune in and see, okay, what's working well? What do I need to continue? What maybe I do need to stop with? What do I need to start with? So it's a very structured process, but it keeps me keeps me on track, but also always in this evaluation loop, what works and what does not work, but also kind of fine tuning. Maybe, for instance, this year, I wanted already beginning of this year to start with redesigning my website. It's now already June. Yeah. And I'm still in the process of getting started.
Yeah.
But it's okay because there were different other things I needed to look after in between. And it was somehow then also not so difficult to find not so easy to find the right partners to work with. And so it's okay. But I still have it. I know it. I now changed my plan for the year, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But with having these 90-day periods, I keep an overview, and it's also not too big.
Yeah.
It's not like a year. It's not a 5-year because so many things change.
Yeah, true. Yeah, and I think it's so smart to have it like in 90 days, because then it's still an easy to overview time frame, and it helps you to stay on track with the things that you decided to do, like the website, because before the end of the year it will be done. And I think that's a very smart way to handle it. Great.
Yeah.
So that's another great advice.
Yeah. And the last thing, it's something I also learned from being a mother. It's always a phase. So everything is urgent or critical or difficult for a certain period of time, and then things will change again. So there's always light at the end of the horizon. Be sure things are going to change.
I love that one. It's always a phase. Yeah, especially as a mother. Relate to that, but it also for business and for life, it's always a phase and it will pass. And there's this great story that I read the other day. It's a kind of philosophical story that about a farmer in China who had a really tough time with his crop. And people around him said, "Oh, look at you, and you're getting poor." And he said exactly what you just said. It's a phase. This too will pass. That's what he said. This too will pass. And then at some point it turned around and his crop was doing really well. And it was just amazing. And it was beautiful. And then everyone was like, "Oh, you're so lucky." And he said, "This too shall pass. This too shall pass." And this was his entire philosophy. So I love it that you just mentioned it, because I think you're so right. It's so true. And it's so relieving to
Definitely.
Consider
that's the thing,
just as a phase.
You don't get stuck in these negative thinkings or getting into panic mode.
Exactly.
It's okay, it's a phase.
It's a phase.
How can I help myself to deal with it now or to stand through it? And then it will be different afterwards. Maybe there's something else difficult, but this is then over.
This was just a phase. Yeah, I love that. I love that. And that is such a great conclusion of our conversation. And of course, we're going to be sharing all your details in the show notes so people can reach out to you, they can connect with you and explore the wonderful work that you do, either for corporates, but also for individuals, especially when it comes to the counseling. And I love talking to you. I love working with you. So thank you so much for being here today. And we will definitely stay in touch.
Yes. Thank you, Nicoline, as well, also for these very interesting questions. I was really, not only interesting, but also kind of insightful for myself to think about. And what is it that I want to share and what's insightful and how to answer for myself?
Great. That's wonderful. So we all win. We all win.
Yes, for
all
sure.
Right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I look forward to hearing your thoughts, so please let us know and subscribe so you will never miss the next episode.